89 in the church Bibles, and I'm going to invite four friends to come and read that for us this morning. Great, everyone ready? Good, boys and girls, you can follow along up here. Brilliant, go for it.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him."
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?"
Thinking he was a gardener, she said,
"Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him."
Jesus said to her,
"Mary."
She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic,
"Rabboni,"
which means teacher. Jesus said,
"Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news,
"I have seen the Lord."
And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said,
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
And with that he breathed on them and said,
"Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him,
"We have seen the Lord."
But he said to them,
"Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe."
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
"Peace be with you."
Then he said to Thomas,
"Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Thomas said to him,
"My Lord and my God."
Then Jesus told him,
"Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Thanks so much. There'll be a few people in this room that are pleased to know that Jesus had a northern accent. Sorry, that was lost on a few people, apart from the northerners here. Thank you so much for reading. Boys and girls, everything you need is going to be up here this morning. Grown-ups, if you've got your Bible, please grab it and keep it open at John 20. My text for this morning, the text for this message is going to be verse 17, which says this: Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, For I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Boys and girls, grown-ups, let's pray together and let's ask for God's help, shall we? Loving Father in heaven, we want to thank you for Easter Sunday and for the very good news that Jesus lives. Please would you teach us today what difference that should make to our lives here in Enfield in 2023. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, to state the obvious, here is the big truth that we are remembering on Easter Sunday. Okay, should we say this together? One, two, three. Jesus is alive. It needs a little bit more enthusiasm than that, because it's actually quite good news. You ready? One, two, three. Jesus is alive. Now, boys and girls and grown-ups, you can join in too. We're going to have an action for this morning. We're going to use some of the Makaton actions this morning. So Jesus is alive. We're going to do resurrection action, okay? So we're going to go, Jesus is alive. Can we say that? One, two, three. Jesus is alive. And if you haven't managed to keep up with the story yet, what that means is that Jesus, who was crucified, who on Good Friday was killed, he was then buried, and he is now raised to life. That's what we're remembering today. And it wasn't a resuscitation where he was back to life in order to die again when he got older. No, this is alive, eternally alive, living forever. That's what we're celebrating today. Jesus is alive. And in the story that we had read to us today, a lady called Mary was one of the first people to find out that that was true. Mary Magdalene. Now, under your chairs, boys and girls, you've got a little sign to help us follow along with the story this morning. And on one side, it's got what? What's on one side? A happy face on one side. And on the other side? A sad face. It's got a tear, isn't it? And I want you, as we go through the story, I want you to tell me whether Mary had a tearful face, a sad face, or whether she had a happy face, okay? So you've got your sign to start with. So here we go. This is what happened on that first Easter Sunday morning, early on the first day of the week, which I think is John's way of telling us that what's about to happen on this day is significant. It's the start of something new. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And what she discovered is that Jesus wasn't there. Now, what do you reckon? How do you think she felt in that moment? That's right, she had a sad face. Jesus wasn't there, and she was really sad. She was really disturbed by what she'd seen. And so she runs off, she runs back to the disciples, and she says to the disciples, they've taken Jesus away. I don't know where they've put him. And so Peter and John run to the tomb, and they have a look inside, and do they find Jesus? No. And so, do you think she had a happy face yet or a sad face? What do you reckon? That's it. Hold it up nice and high. The rest of you can join in by giving us the face. You don't even have to have a sign. Yeah, some of you got very sad faces on this morning anyway. So here it is. It was a sad face. And then we're told the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, do you think Mary was still sad at that stage? Well, yeah, listen to this. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Can you hold up your sad face? She stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over and she had another look into the tomb. She wanted to see, well, maybe I missed something. Maybe Jesus is in there and we just didn't see properly. But actually, when she looked into the tomb this time, was it empty? No, it wasn't empty. This time, there were two angels in the tomb, one sitting at the head and one at the foot of where Jesus had been. And they asked her a question. They said, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she says to them, "Well, I don't know where they've put Jesus." So she's still happy or sad. What do you think? Hold it up. She's still sad at this point? That's right. She's still sad. And then she turns around, and behind her, there's a man standing there. And she thinks it's the gardener, and she's still crying, and maybe her eyes are all blurry because she's crying, and she sees this man, and the man says to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And then, in that moment, she explains again, thinking it's the gardener, well, look, if you've taken Jesus somewhere, please, please tell me where you've put him and I can go and get him. And then the voice says, Mary. And in that moment, she knew that it was Jesus. Now, what do you think happened then? That's it. We've all got happy faces now. In that moment, she was overjoyed. She was ecstatic that she had found Jesus. And she was so filled with joy that she cries out, verse 16, adults, if you've got it, she turned and exclaimed in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Matthew's gospel tells us, and we know it from verse 17 as well, that she must have reached out and given him a great big, what do you think he did? She did? A great big hug. Can you give the person next to you a big hug? That's awkward for you adults, but you know, you don't have to do that bit. Oh, look, there's some love going on in the room. There it is, a great big squeeze. And in fact, Matthew's gospel tells us that Mary had fallen down on her knees and she was grasping his feet. She was holding on to him. She was over the moon. She had found out this truth. Can we say it together? That Jesus is alive. Real, touchable, huggable Jesus. It wasn't her imagination. It was the real Jesus, physical Jesus. And in that moment of meeting Jesus who is alive, all her tears, can you hold up the tears? All her tears turned into joy. It was all pushed away. And I want us to see this morning that in that moment of realizing that Jesus is alive, in that moment of holding on to her, Jesus says something to her. And it should appear on the screen. And here it is. This is what we're going to be thinking about together this morning. Jesus says this, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers," that's the disciples. He did have some brothers, some earthly brothers, but here he's talking about those who followed him. Go to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary is over the moon. She's holding on, but in these words, Jesus teaches her and us something really important about the truth that Jesus is alive. And here's what we're going to learn this morning, okay? Here's the first thing that these words teach us. Jesus is alive, so, let me put it up so we can say it together, look forward to heaven. So we're going to do this, okay? Jesus is alive, so look forward to heaven. Can you do that with me? One, two, three. Jesus is alive, so look forward to heaven. Now, who has ever been somewhere so great, so brilliant, that you never want to leave? Anyone been that? Where was it?
Legoland.
Oh, yeah, I can vouch for that. Although by the end of the day, I was ready to leave, actually, I have to say. But it is good. Legoland, yeah? Yeah, when you went to Italy to visit your auntie and you didn't want to leave because it was such a great time. Louise, what about you?
Trampoline
park. Oh, although I suspect there's a lot of us that will be worn out after a few minutes in that place. But yeah, the trampoline park. Eleanor, what about you? A holiday. You go on a holiday and it's so good. You just never want to go home, or you're at a friend's house and it's such good fun. What about you? Have you got one? Really? I bet Mummy and Daddy wanted you to leave the shop, didn't they? Yeah. So sometimes you are somewhere so good, so special, that you just never want that moment to end. And you know what? I think that is what was going on in that moment with Mary. When she met Jesus again, when she found out that Jesus, who was crucified, who was buried, but is now alive, she just wanted to stay in that moment. Because she was with the physical, resurrected Jesus. And in that moment, all her tears had turned to joy. And that was a moment she just wanted to stay in forever and ever. Now listen, Zeb, come up here. Let's have a think about this for a moment. So Zeb, he's much older now, so he doesn't do this, but he promised he'd come and help me this morning. So when Zeb was small, every time I came in from work or tried to leave for work, he would cling on to me, right? This is what he used to do. He literally used to do this. And so when I tried to leave for work, he would come with me. And when I got in, when I went for dinner, he would come with me because he just wanted to stay by my side, which is very nice. You don't do it anymore, do you? No. That's it. Thanks for your help, Zev. Let's give him a little plaque. And in that moment, that's what Mary was doing. She was clinging on to Jesus because she realized how good it was to be with Jesus, the physical, resurrected Jesus. She wanted to cling on. She didn't want that moment to go. And she would have done that for Jesus. She would have walked on his feet everywhere because she said, I'm not leaving your side, because to be with Jesus is good. He is the one who died for our forgiveness. And when you're with Jesus, and everywhere he went on earth, there was this little bubble of heaven that went with him. And it was good to be with Jesus. And she says, I don't want to leave this moment. Now, you think that's pretty cool, right? You'd think, yeah, well, I'd do the same. But what does Jesus say to her? Boys and girls, what did Jesus say to her? Have a look on the screen. What did he say? Can you say it? Do not hold on to me. No one alive this morning? Hello?
Do not hold on to me.
Brilliant. Should we say it together? 1, 2, 3. Do not hold on to me. Wow, can you scratch your head? Jesus doesn't want her to hold on. He doesn't want her to cling on to him. Now, some versions, grown-ups, you may have a version of the Bible there that says, do not touch me. That's what the word means. But it has the sense of clinging on, grasping on, trying to hang on to this moment, as it were. It's this sense of, I don't think Jesus is telling her off. Can I tell you what I think Jesus is doing? I think Jesus is teaching her that it is not yet the time for being with Jesus physically forever. It is not yet the time for being with him physically in his resurrected state forever and ever. That moment hasn't come. And that is because Jesus has a timetable. Jesus has a job to do. So if you look carefully at the words, it says, do not hold on to me, for, because I have not yet ascended, that means returned, to the Father. So who has a timetable at school? Anyone have a timetable? So does any of your teachers ever kind of put this up and say, this is what we're doing today? Anyone have that? What sort of things go on your timetable at school? I've got some things here. Eleanor, what goes on? Maths. I think I've got a bit of maths here, so that's a good start. There we go. So they might say, right, the first thing we're going to do today is some maths. Science. Oh, I haven't got that one. I'm sorry about that. What about you? Geography, man, you guys have advanced lessons. I put some things here. Someone say English. Yeah. Literacy. Oh, man. My timetable is going wrong. Someone say English. Yeah. Music. I haven't even got that one as well. I give up. I'll tell you what's going to be on our timetable today. We're going to have a bit of English. Well done for that one. We're going to have a bit of phonics, because I knew about that one. Yeah, I see. Someone knows about phonics. And we're going to have a bit of PE. Who's up for a bit of PE later? Yes. And then, best of all, home time. Yay. So that's the timetable. And a teacher may lay out a timetable to say, these are the things that we're going to do in a given day. But boys and girls, grown-ups, Jesus has a timetable too. And he spells out the timetable for us here. And his timetable isn't maths, English, phonics, PE, although those things are important. Actually, here's Jesus' timetable. And his timetable is this. He said that he would be raised from the dead. Resurrection. Should we say that together? 1, 2, 3. Resurrection. And then he said in his timetable that he was to return to heaven. Now, one of the reasons that it says he was to return to heaven, to return to the Father, one of the reasons he has to go there, is we read earlier in John's Gospel, is to prepare a place for us. Listen to this. John 14 verse 2 says, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. So in Jesus's timetable, he was raised from the dead, He returns to heaven because as he's in heaven, he is preparing. It doesn't mean he's sweeping up and making the beds and building houses for us. He's preparing it by his plan today to gather many, many people to be in this house. He's preparing a place for us. And he went via the cross to prepare that place. And one day, he will, what does it say? He will come back and take us to be with him. That's Jesus' timetable. That's what he's working to. That's what he's doing in our world. And these words of Jesus to Mary that say, "Do not hold on to me," are teaching Mary and us that there is a time coming, there is a moment coming when we can cling on to Jesus and we will be with the physical, resurrected Jesus forever, and all our tears will be turned to joy, and that little bubble of heaven that surrounds Jesus when he was here on earth, we will be part of that forever. No more brokenness, no more sickness. All the love that he showed, we will be in that bubble, but forever and ever. And we can cling on to Jesus. But that time is not just yet. Because Jesus has a timetable. His timetable was to be raised from the dead, to return to heaven, to prepare for that future, to gather people into his kingdom. And then he would return and come back and take all of us who've trusted him to be with him forever. And Mary needed to know, and we need to know on this Easter Sunday, that that time is coming, but it's not just yet. It's not just now. And so that's why on Easter we celebrate this. Can we say it together? Or this is what we do. We're going to say, Jesus is alive, so look forward to heaven. That's what Easter Sunday encourages us. Resurrection is real. Jesus' resurrection is real. And Jesus has a timetable. He's returned to heaven, and he will one day come back to earth and take us to be with him. Are you looking forward to heaven? Put your hand up if you're looking forward to heaven. Yeah, I'm looking forward to heaven. Are you looking forward to resurrection? There's a moment when we will never have to leave Jesus' physical sight. There's a moment when we will be in his physical presence forever and ever. But that moment isn't just yet. And so Jesus says to Mary, "Do not hold on to me. Don't cling on yet, because that time's coming. But it's not now." So here's the first thing we're learning today. We're going to do it one more time. Jesus is alive, so look forward to heaven. Let's look forward to it on this Easter Sunday, because that's what Jesus' resurrection affirms to us. But here's the second thing. So Mary was to look forward to heaven, but do you think that meant she was meant to just kind of sit there and be like, we'll just wait for a few minutes and wait for Jesus to come? Do you think that's what Mary was meant to do? No, because Jesus left us something else to do. And here it is. It is this. She was to, can we do that together? Go and tell. Let's say it nice and loud. 1, 2, 3. Go and tell. Now we're going to have an action for that. So the action for go is this. Go and tell. Should we do that? Go and tell. So let's see if we can bolt this all together. Jesus is alive, so go and tell. That's what we're learning today. Jesus gave Mary a job to do. Now, grown-ups, you'll see it on the screen here. Boys and girls, you can see it too. He said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go," there it is, "go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary was to go with an amazing message. And tucked into those words is what we call the gospel. She was to tell them that Jesus was alive, and that by trusting Jesus, God has now become our Father, and he has become our God. Because of our sin, we are separated from God, and we are apart from him. But by trusting Jesus who lives, he becomes our Father and our God. Isn't that good news? And Mary was to go and tell that to the disciples. But it wasn't just the disciples who had to go and tell. I'm sorry, it wasn't Mary who had to go and tell. It was the disciples too. So that very same evening, John 20, if you look at verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed. Let's see your happy faces on your card. Happy or were they sad? They were overjoyed because there they were, the physical Jesus. Jesus is alive. And again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." Now listen very carefully. This is what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, "As the Father has sent me," so God the Father sent Jesus into this world, "so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus told the disciples, can we do this together? To go and tell. He wanted them to share the good news that Jesus is alive. Jesus, who was crucified, who was buried, is now alive. And that message that they were meant to share is a message of forgiveness. And we know it's a message of forgiveness because listen to what Jesus tells them. He says this, "If you forgive anyone their sins," verse 23, grown-ups, if you've got a Bible, "if you forgive anyone their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, you are not forgiven." Now, he wasn't saying to the disciples that you can make up your mind who's forgiven or not. No, he's telling them that as they take the message of Jesus to the world, the message of Jesus who died for our sins and was raised to life for our justification, as you take that message to the world, people who believe that can be absolutely certain they're forgiven. But people who don't believe it cannot be certain they're forgiven. And so he's saying to them, this message that you take to the world is a message of forgiveness. It's a message that people need to hear. And so Jesus says that while we're looking forward to heaven, we must be those who go and tell. We must be those who head off. Now, does that sound a bit scary to you? Does that sound a bit scary to go and tell people that? Anyone scared of that? It is a bit scary, isn't it, to go and tell people this good news? But wonderfully, this is another reason that Jesus had to return to heaven. Because Jesus, when he returned to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words from John chapter 16 and verse 7. Grown-ups, if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. John 16 verse 7 says this, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It's why in that room Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because as Jesus returns to heaven, he's now with us, not physically, but by the Holy Spirit with all people who trust in him. And he gives us power to go and tell. Now here's the question. Who does he want you to go and tell? Who do you think he wants you to go and tell? Boys and girls, who do you think he wants you to go and tell about Jesus being alive and crucified? Any ideas? Everybody, yeah, well done. But I'm going to show you that that splits into two groups of people, okay? And this may surprise some of us because we'll all think, oh yeah, Nathan's going to say, just go and tell the world. But actually, here's something that the story teaches us. Who was Mary to go and tell? Grown-ups, you can join in. Who was she to go and tell? The disciples. She was to take the message that Jesus is alive to people who already believed in Jesus. Why do we gather together at church on a Sunday? Because we need to tell each other that Jesus is alive. Do you encourage another Christian with the truth that heaven is coming, resurrection is real, that Jesus is the one who will turn all our tears to joy? Have you ever encouraged a Christian with that truth? The Apostle Paul tells us to encourage one another with these words. So will you encourage one another on this Easter Sunday? Over a cup of coffee afterwards, will you say, Jesus is alive? I know that's the sort of thing we have to say on Easter Sunday, isn't it? Where we go and say, Christ is risen, and someone says, he's risen indeed, and we all rejoice. But actually, we should be doing that every week, because it's good news. And so Mary takes the good news to other believers, but you're absolutely right. We also take it to the world. Because it is as we take the message of Jesus being alive to the world, that they can hear the message of how to be forgiven. They can hear the message of how to be with God forever when Jesus comes back again. They too can join us in looking forward to heaven so that we will be with him forever, physically resurrected in a world where all our tears are turned to joy. That's good news, isn't it? So that's what we've got to be telling the world. And maybe some of us are here this morning because we've been brought along, because someone's told us that. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, well, I'm only here because someone stopped me on a street or someone kind of shared that news with me. And I want to say to you this morning, the question is, will you believe that message? That Jesus is alive, not just resuscitated and later he died again, but physically resurrected to eternal life. And that as you come to him and you say, Jesus, I'm sorry that my sins, all the things in my life keep me away from you. I want to be with you forever. I want to be in that little bubble of heaven with you where every tear is turned to joy. Please forgive me. And what Jesus says is that everyone who believes that message is forgiven. But if you don't believe that message, you're not. So will you believe that today? So, boys and girls, Easter Sunday, what do we remember today? Let's all do this together, nice and loud. Jesus is alive. So, look forward to heaven and go and tell. Jesus said to Mary, do not hold on to me. It's not yet time. It's not yet time to be with me physically forever. That time's coming. Wait for it. It's going to be good. It's going to be amazing. But now's not the time. Instead, now is the time to go and tell. Tell other believers. Keep comforting other believers that Jesus is alive, resurrection is coming, and that we will be with him forever. And go and tell others that they might be forgiven and be with Jesus forever too as they believe that message. Let me pray, and then we'll sing a song together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that Jesus truly is alive. That on that Easter Sunday, the tomb was empty. Not because someone stole the body, not because someone made up a story, but because you raised your son from the dead to live forever. And we can't wait for the day when we can be with Jesus and that will never end and we'll never have to leave him. We can't wait for the resurrection when all tears will be turned to joy for those who've believed in him. And as we wait for heaven, please would you help us to be those who obediently go and tell others about Jesus. May we encourage one another with this truth even today. And may we share this with the world that they might not perish but have eternal life. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.